Worried about keeping up with your fave friends all summer? Or posting every perfectly pink sunset you see? Don't sweat the connect. You can have it made in the shade with 4 lines of unlimited data for $100 a month. Scroll the staycation pics, find your new go-to takeout spot, or catch some rays on video chat. Whatever you and the crew are into, all the data makes it all that much better. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Cricket Core acquired on 4 lines. Data speed limited to 3 megabits per second. Cricket may slow data speeds when the network is busy. Additional fees, usage, and restrictions apply.
This is Indian Noir. You're listening to Season 2, Episode 6 of Fear FM. Deepa gazed upon the sad monument the locals refer to as the Taj Mahal. Dirt and grime stained the once white facade of the 13-story apartment block. Graffiti, in the form of gang tags and crudely drawn genitalia, and words like cock and balls, liberally decorated its walls. Little plastic packets, burned up remnants of joints, cigarette butts, and the occasional syringe were strewn on the cracked cement courtyard that led to the entrance of the building. This could be a visual representation of my childhood, Deepa thought. Dysfunctional and violent and painful. The fog of time and lots of drugs had helped her wipe some parts of it clean from her mind. She entered the staircase of the building through one of the broken doors.
You will find Vetruvel on the 10th floor,
one of the junkies from the homeless shelter had told her.
He's got the best stuff.
She slowly walked up the stairs, fighting the urge to run like her ass was on fire. She needed to feel the needle press against her vein, needed that warmth to travel up and down her bloodstream. Needed her inner eye closed so she didn't have to remember anything. She was on the 3rd floor when the voices stopped her. It was coming through the door that linked the stairwell to the corridor. Only the door looked like the door to her childhood home. Hesitantly, she pressed her ear against it, keen to hear the voices clearly. They were sounds from the past, all right. The Doordarshan show in muted tones, the sound of her mother slamming the ladle needlessly against the steel wok as she made alu chole, the voice of her father berating her.
How many boys did you sleep around with today? He said.
Sounds of him belting her. The steel buckle featuring an American bald eagle slamming into her flesh. Deepa felt the pain in the echoes from that time in the past. Only it was alive and well now, on the other side of the door.
Just like your stupid slutty mother, her father said. Why the hell are you blaming me?
Her mother said as she emerged from the kitchen.
And what is the point of beating her now? You should have been around more instead of going out drinking with your friends. You were at that bar every single night while I was struggling with your daughter's antics. Shut up and go to the kitchen, her father said. Don't come out to lecture others when you can't feed your family on time.
Next came the sound of her mother bringing out the piping hot wok from the kitchen and throwing its contents at her father's face. The sound of skin sizzling. She remembered that night now. How is it possible that the sounds were coming out through the door? Her father stopped screaming. She heard him walk up to the door and say,
"I know you are listening, darling daughter. Sweet rebel. Doesn't matter how much you fight the system. You know what you are. You know what they called you. What was it again? Kala Kaua, Kala Kaua."
She remembered. Being on the ground, nursing the wound on her left elbow, surrounded by her tormentors, the bullies from 11th grade. They had shoved her to the floor and were now clapping their hands and chanting the racist slogan, "Kala Kaua, Kala Kaua." The door heated up like the surface of a clothes iron. She heard her father laugh in delight. Deepa pulled her ears away. Tears streamed down her face in rivulets. What she would give up for some sweet, sweet escape. She ran up the stairs. The gothic fashion, the rebellious tattoos, the metal piercings, the death metal bands screaming in her ears, the hard-edged persona she had carefully manufactured for herself. They had all failed to contain the horrors from her past, heal her wounded soul. She needed a hit right now. She had almost reached the 10th floor when she heard the cackling. She stopped and looked over the railing at the stairwells below her. Nothing. She turned away just for a second when she heard it again. She glanced back at the same spot. Staring back at her was a pair of intense eyes covered in filthy green pus. "I am coming for you." The thing chased after her. The Larchdale was here. It was not even hiding its presence anymore in the darkness of the night. Deepa ran for her life, the bile rising in her mouth, her heart pounding out of her chest, the lactic acid buildup in her legs threatening to slow her and land her in the vile grip of the apparition. "Kala Kaua, Kala Kaua." The racist chant rendered by her father and her bullies filled the stairwell, echoing through the depressing grey stairway like a choir from hell. She had just reached the 10th floor and was about to open the door when a strong grip landed on her shoulder. It pulled her back into the cold shadows. Chills ran up and down her body as she surrendered to the will of that darkness. There was no point fighting it. It whispered into her ears. "I eagerly await your arrival. And I will embrace you as you are. Poison in your veins, hatred in your heart." Once it had conveyed its message, the evil form in the stairwell pushed Deepa onto the concrete floor of the corridor. She landed on her hands and knees. It felt like she was thrown out of a moving bus. Her pants were torn at the impact points. Her hands were bruised. She wept uncontrollably, cursing the past, loathing the present.
You want a hand there, sister? A man's voice said.
She looked up and saw Vetrivale's gaunt form towering over her. She raised a hand, and he struggled to pull her up. When she was on her feet, he licked his lips and offered,
You want something else, sister? If you don't have cash. There are other ways to pay for services rendered.
He smiled like a kid in a candy store. This was the part Deepa hated the most, the bane of her existence, having to sell her body for a hit. But she was determined to get through it like she always did. By imagining that crystal melt and bubble up in a tablespoon, resting on a bed of flames.